Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, hello, hello. Good evening to each and every one tonight. This is the Agape Worldwide Prayer Delivery Ministry. This is Pastor Ruth from North Carolina. We welcome you on the September 26, 2021. Hallelujah. Glory to God. We do give God praise, glory, and honor just for another day and another opportunity to come before Him, to worship Him, to bring the word, to pray for people, to minister, however the Holy Spirit choose. We welcome each and every one. I just even speak and pray the blessing of God upon you, even before we get started. You know, we thank and praise God tonight, and as we continue to pray also for the, you know, for the world, we pray for the leaders, we pray for every ministry that God has called. And we tear down the one in the spirit that God has not called. We tear them down, we go in the spirit realm. And we pray for these cities, these towns, not just the one that represented with the people calling in. But I pray as a whole for the world right now. We really need prayer. We really need to get closer to the Lord. We really need the truth in our lives now, because things that's already coming on the land, already here. You better get a place in Christ, in His word. Because the word is what's going to sustain us and take us through. Because we are really getting ready to be persecuted. God is bringing those people out from the backside of the desert. And they're going to come with the truth. They're going to come and knock down everything that Satan has built up. And if those of us who want the Lord to use us and He has called us, you're going to have to be ready spiritually. You have to be ready even with the word, with revelation, rightly dividing the word of truth, calling sin, sin. You know, no matter who it is, what it is, you're going to have to do that, because we got to pull down the things that this enemy has built up, and a lot of people preaching, teaching, false teaching, and a lot of God's people, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus, are not walking in the power and anointing of God, because some things that they've been taught and told, and some things they're still holding on to, you know, and God wants to really, a lot of words have been brought over their lives and spoken and showed, but because there's certain things that will hinder the blessings of God from coming in, and sometimes we're doing it and don't even realize, you know, it's wrong. And so God is going to use people nowadays to bring truth. And these people that God is using to bring truth, they don't went through hell and high water, and they come in, they come in with all they got, and they're going to obey God. They're going to really obey the Lord, and you won't be popular with people. But you got to come to a place, the Bible tells us, you know, don't fear man, but fear God. You know, so we're going to have to come to that place, and that's why He's giving us the logo to build our spirit man up to the place that we'll be that vessel He wants to use. Because the field is white, but the labor's a few. He needs people. We're not just called to come in church and go to church and do all this stuff and what you call them, people that are dying, all kind of stuff happening, and no one to, and I'm not saying it's not anyone like that, but Jesus wants to do the work through us. He wants to yield the vessel. He don't want nobody already prepared. He wants to prepare us, but you're going to have to prepare with the word and rightly divide the word of truth. And so I know with me, I know He's raising up others, come forth with the word, because I do, with the help of God, try to walk in truth. I don't deviate the word for myself, and nobody else. It says what it said. If I'm wrong, I need to get it right. I need to obey the Lord, because if I don't and I lead anybody wrong, it's no excuse I can give God, because I will have to pay the cost for that. And I don't want to get into the hand of an angry God. You know, I really don't. You know, I don't want to, not please Him anyway. You know, I'm not looking to influence people and win friends. Because one thing about it, when you become a true servant of God, a true servant, you're not out to win friends and influence people. You're out to please Him, because you want Him on your side, even if you come through another person. And you all know this, like I know, I'm sure, you can find very few people that walk in some power. Hallelujah, they can pray a prayer, or either they walk in the anointing of God that can come and set you free from any bondage, any sin, any kind of disease. They can tell you that God is a healer, what He will do. But He told us to take the kingdom unto the people, and we have the kingdom within. those of us who've really been born again and got his spirit, we're crucifying the flesh. That spirit of God is supposed to be in us. Because the Bible said, out of your belly, your inner man, he says, so for rivers, with an S, a living water. And water is symbolic for the Holy Spirit. And that whenever we speak the word or talk the word, the power of the anointing, the Holy Spirit will come out with it. And when it come out with it, it destroys the yoke. It tears down everything that's not like God. Everything that's not like God. This is why somebody can talk to you with the word of God and don't have the spirit of God, and it does nothing to you. No matter, even though they say they got the spirit of God, but they don't have it. Because there's no way his spirit, any demon in hell, don't have power over God's spirit. It doesn't have power over it. He can't stay. Sickness can't stay. So that's why God is going to bring us into a place, glory to God, that we can walk in that anointing. That we can walk in places, and the very anointing in our life, whether we say anything or not, will destroy the yoke for whatever's in there. So God is bringing the word. So we just pray tonight for each and every person. We pray for the blessing of God upon your life. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I thank and I praise God, like I said again. I thank and praise God how things that the Lord had begun to speak. I'm getting a lot of testimonies of God's healing power that has been going forth. So I thank and praise God for that. But it comes from me telling the truth, living the truth, and allowing myself to be used by God in whatever capacity. I know that I preach, teach, prophesy, and all that stuff, but I would be a servant however he chooses to use me. I make myself available to him to use me however he chooses to use me, because that's what ministry means. And everybody in the body of Christ that got the Spirit of God has joined to his body, they are a minister, meant to serve. Yes, some of us got the you know, five-fold ministry in our life or one or the other or whatever it is, but we are supposed to serve. We may be an arm today, a leg tomorrow, maybe an ear, be any part of the body of Christ. So we thank and praise God for that, and I pray the blessing God. And I truly am standing and believing, because this is about him, for God's best to be done in your life. Because if I can stand with you to believe for God's best, like this is about him. It's not even about me or anything, but about him. You know, then when you glorify and praise him, then I can glorify and praise him along with you. You know, so I thank and praise God for that, because we need to establish the kingdom of God. And I see now that a lot of people, they're falling down. They're coming down. They're really coming down because they're not really helping God's people. He's not even in the midst. So we thank and praise God for that to bless. We pray for this nation. We pray for his spirit to supernatural move across the land. We need to invite him on the scene. It's not about getting this person as president and getting this person, you know, people in the city, because I have people text me and say, well, you know, we need to pray for the cities of people because they're raising tax and raising. And I tell people, that has nothing to do with God promised you. You're in the world, but not out of the world. Because God's going to, if you walk in obedience, he's going to take care of you in spite of him. Whatever he promised you, he's going to give it to you if you walk in obedience. That, like I tell people, that's not affect me. They can do what they want. I'm going to pray for them. I'm not saying I'm not going to pray for them, but I'm going to pray for God to come in the midst of. That's what I'm going to pray for God to come in the midst of. You know, because a lot of times, like I said, people say, well, you know, if you pray for this and get them in the right person, they're doing this and doing that. Read the Bible. Study the Bible. He does not say, because the rotten person in the world, that whatever I promise you, you're not going to get it. He tells you in the word, when you obey me, when you walk in my word, I'm going to bless you. I'm going to fulfill the promise I give. You know, I tell people a lot of times, they get upset with me, but I tell them, man don't promise me no blessing. God promised to do it. So how he do it, when he do it, I'm relying upon him. And even when I pray with you or believe with you, I'm not relying upon you, your circumstances, anything. I'm relying upon what he promised in his word. That's why I get in the word. And that's why I believe the word. If the word says I'm wrong, hey, I just need to get it right. I need to get it right. But first of all, a lot of time I check myself out by the word, not by some other preacher, somebody, because you got a lot of false teachers out there. You got a lot of them out there. because I've been thinking the other day, I said, Lord, you know, in the New Testament, you know, you had the Sadducees, you had the Pharisees, you had the Essenes, you had the Antinism, you had the Gnostics. And when you listen to a lot of the people talk and go back and study about what kind of teaching, what these people are teaching on, they're teaching on the same thing but just got a different name. A different name. And Paul was one of the people about listening to them. So you have to really, really study. That's why you got to be careful by people that will tell you, but you say, all right, you're sin. You know, God don't mind. And, you know, he understands we're not. The devil is a lie. A holy God? Oh, no. That's why in the Old Testament, when his people were disobeying him and going on, that's why the Father decided to send his son to earth. Because of what they were doing, the rebellion, stubborn, disobedience, all that stuff, he's not going on with it now. Because if that's the case, it wouldn't be no reason for him, nobody gets saved. Just go on into heaven like you're going. So we have to be so very careful. But we thank and praise God, like I said, again and again for each and every person, you know, that will come on, that they hear the word. And you know, and I'm just really, really wants to help encourage people. And not only am I encouraging them, but I'm trying to keep myself together and right so that I can see the things God promised me in my life. I can be a blessing and help the people. Because like I said before, and I mean it's my heart, if the signs of wonder can't follow what I'm preaching and saying, I told God I don't want to preach and teach. I'd rather sit down. Because I know I don't like to hear people keep telling me all the time what God will do and what God will this and God will. And don't we ever see it come to pass? No. And I don't plan on doing that either. Whatever I have to, you know, give up or whatever I have to do, allow the Lord to trust me, to put his power within me, to set his people free, then that's what I'm going to do. Because I know I need him. Because with the things going on in the world today, you can't trust people unless they got God in them. You can't trust them. People see you need help or whatever it is. Now, they'll call on you. But they'll see you need help. They won't be there for you. They won't be there for you. So you better get your hook in Christ and let him lead you to people that got him in them. Because if he's in them, they will come to your rescue, even if it's up for praying for you or being there for you or standing with you. But I had started teaching on the apostasy, and basically what that means is, you know, you got apostasy, you got backsliders, or you even got lukewarm Christians. And I'm going to give that definition again and go on. You know, maybe I'm going to touch on a couple of them if I had the time, and then I want to prayerfully get on a couple of them that talk about how to guard against being apostasy. Apostasy, A-P-O-S-T-A-S-Y, means a falling away from God's truth. You see this prevalent in the church today. A lot of people know that word, but they're not walking and living it. They're really in an apostasy state. But they still go to church, they still do all the stuff, they still say they pray, they still say they read the Bible. But the truth, they have fallen away from truth. Now they're using every man say to do to work out the things of God, even to be blessed. Even to be blessed. So it means abandonment of what one has professed. And a lot of us, we profess the word of God, and especially when he's blessing us, when he got us in the waiting period, we start confessing the word. So basically what that word is a desertion, a departure from one's faith, apostasy, that is in the church, I'm saying in the body of Christ now. So this is why God has given us the definition stuff so we can check it out, because a lot of times, even though we say the word, because I hear this a lot with people dealing with me, you know, they'll say what the word says. When trouble comes, they say the opposite. And then time I clock them, then they say, but yeah, the word said, but yeah, but you don't know. You are speaking out the wrong thing. The Bible says, out the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So that is what you're going to get. Yes, God said he's going to bless you. God said he's going to use you. God said he's going to give you this, give you that. But you, at times, when things seem wrong, you say the wrong thing. So this can hinder you from getting your blessing. This is why I tell people with me, you wake me up, I'm saying what the word says. I don't care what my situation is. I see it, and people think I don't. I know what to cause me not to get my blessing, not to walk in them. Okay, so we apostasy, like I said, is one of them, and I had named some other things, but I may at some other time go back over them. But I'm going to go like spiritual blindness is one of the causes what brings apostasy into existence, or producer, or whatever terminology you want to use. Spiritual blinding means the want of spiritual discernment. But moral depravity is a state of the heart. Okay, a lot, if you don't crucify the flesh and the way you think and look at things, then you are going to be spiritual blind, because God could be doing something in your life or in the life of a loved one, whatever it is. And because you're not looking at it in the spiritual sense, you're looking at it in the natural. And sometimes what we do, we pray for God to save people, deliver people, set them free. And sometimes he has to take them through a rough thing. So what we do, have no spiritual discernment, we'll pray them out of it instead of praying them through it. Because we don't know the process he's going to take to perfect that person. So it's spiritual blindness. And we're going to go to Acts, the 28th chapter, and 25th through 27. And remember that a lot of times when you ask God to save somebody, to bring them in, and all of a sudden, a lot of things start to happen with them, a lot of things start to going through. And that because he's dealing with them and they don't understand what's going on. And so you want to put it on the devil, put them, yes, he used the devil, but they come from the hand of God because he's answering your prayer, even in your own life. When you asking God to take you higher, you asking God to use you for his glory, you asking God to bless you with this and do that in your life, then you're going to be tested with that word. You're going to be. That's a fact. But you have to have the spiritual discernment to realize that the enemy hope you get, you know, he's still killing the straw. But God said that he allowed it so that you would have an abundant life. Look at all of our life and people you know life. I'm not talking about just abundant things. We ought to be walking in so much of the north that when we walk down the street, the devil had to come out of people, or either he has to disappear, like it was when Jesus walked there. We will be walking that same power. Not just one of us. All of us that carry the Holy Spirit in us. But when we see people, you know, acting up or whatever it is, a lot of times, you know, I've heard people say, but such and such a person, I ask them, what kind of spirit is operating behind them? What kind of spirit is? Because the Bible says we're not dealing with flesh and blood. Spiritual wickedness and high praise, principality of power, this is what we're dealing with. So if I'm going to look at it spiritually, if I'm not spiritually blinded, I'm going to recognize the spirit that is operating. Then I'm going to go to probably Ephesians 6 chapter and 10 verse and do what that scripture says. And use the sword of the spirit is the word of God. That's why it got to come out of your mouth consistently. Tear down everything that ain't like God. Sometimes you have to keep on doing and keep on doing and keep on doing it. Before them things come down, because sometimes things have been built up so long till it really, you just got to keep knocking, keep knocking, keep knocking. I remember sometime back, I had a dream, and the finance looked like it was dried up or whatever. And so in this dream, the Lord had showed me great big bags of money that folks come to me. And in the dream, I had a hammer, and the guy that was trying to steal the money, I would beat him upside the head with the hammer. But we're back in the Word of God. The Word of God said the Word of God is like a hammer. So what is he telling me? You got to use the Word of God. Whenever there's something to be held back or God going to say he's going to bless you or whatever it is, instead of keep asking God about it, first of all, check yourself out by the Word, and then do a spiritual warfare. Let the devil know he can't keep what belongs to you, especially if you walk in obedience to God's Word. He got to loosen. Or either ask the Holy Spirit, ask the Lord to send the angels to whoever he done told to bless you or to work on your life, whatever it is. Ask him to send the angels so they'll have to obey the Lord. But one of them, like I said, spirit, Acts 28, I'm saying 25 through 27 verse. Okay, let me find it right quick. He said, 12 months up, 24, and some believe the thing which was spoken and some believe not. Okay, and when they agreed not among themselves, they departed. After that, Paul had spoken one word. Well spake the Holy Ghost by Isaiah, the prophet unto our father, saying, go unto this people, and say, hearing ye shall hear, and shall not understand, and seeing ye shall see, and not perceive. But the heart of this people, this is what he said about those people, is waxed gross. I mean, the obstinate is hard. And their ears are dull of hearing, because they have no spiritual discernment. no spiritual eyesight. You can have the natural ear. When the scriptures say, he that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying. You know it's not too much your natural ear because everybody got there. You have to have a spiritual ear, which is the Spirit of God in you. And whenever that ear, the Spirit hears God, the word spoken, however it is, it always comes with a yes. Always comes with a yes. It never comes with don't understand it only. So that's why a lot of times you may have heard me praying for people, and I pray to God give them a spiritual ear, spiritual eyes, because I'm picking up and observing, even talking to them. They're not understanding, I'm talking about with inside, I'm not talking about the head and all that. The things that's being said, they're not getting it. So then they need prayer, and this is what you can do for other people that you minister to, and you got to keep on saying the same thing. They're like, I don't get it, I don't understand. But you automatically know they don't have a spiritual ear, and if they can't see what's going on and see it in the spirit, they don't have a spiritual eyesight either. Sometimes you have to pray for God to give them spiritual eyesight, come against spiritual blindness. Break the power of it over their life. Okay, spiritual deafness. Because in delivering people, sometimes, you know, a person can't hear or whatever, and sometimes you can. It's not physical. It could be spiritual. So if you pray for a physical hearing, the ear's not going to open or eyes. So you have to discern from your spirit man, whether it's from the natural or the spirit, and then pray that prayer to break it. Or even if it's something the Lord is showing you about your life, you don't get it. You can come against that. I come against the spirit, any kind of spiritual blind to God. Open my eyes up so I can see what you're talking about. If you'd rather do that than to go ahead on and on and on, and you should have got blessed or whatever, God should use you months and months ago, and now you done missed it. And some people tell me this. Well, I finally got it. But look what you missed. Look what you could have been. If you had an ear to hear, nobody's trying to come against you, trying to help you to walk in the blessings of God. But I'm going to read the 27th verse again. For the heart of this people, this is what we're saying about the people, is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes have they closed, lest that you see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their heart, to make the spirit man, and should be converted, and I should heal them. What is he saying? They cannot get healed until they begin to open up the eye spirit, the heart spirit, the spirit man, to receive from the Lord. This is why going back, not just with blessing, but this even with physical, but a lot of people, you know why things have not come to them? Because their heart have hardened toward the word of God and the things of God. That is a no-no. That will make you miss it in a heartbeat. And what God would do, to be honest and real, because people will tell people, the Lord would keep taking you through until your heart softened up. For maybe you could have got the blessing last year, but now he got to take you through because their heart will have to soften up. This is what it's saying here. And your eyes will have to be open spiritually and ears. He said, unless they be converted, I should heal them. And I'm going to read 28. Be it known, therefore, unto you that the salvation of God is sent unto the Gentiles, that they will hear it. You know, and we as the people are the Gentile of what's called. And like I said, the Lord permitted the Israelite to do like this in order for us to get grafted in. And I keep telling people, you know, but the Gentile is, and I said, let me tell you one thing. If you think that God is going to turn his back on his natural spiritual seed, the first seed, you got another thought coming. And if they didn't get away with their hard heart and deaf ears, no, we are not either. Because they are the spirit, they are the physical, natural seed. We are the spiritual seed, connected through by the Spirit of God, by those that perceive. But that is one of the things, spiritual blindness. And like I said, in the name of the one of spiritual discernment, ask God to sharpen your spiritual discernment so that you can know what's going on in the spirit realm. You can know how to ask him to give you strategy or wisdom on how to conquer whatever it is, whether it's in your life or somebody else's life. You know, because if we are going and we're not understanding what's going on, maybe God got us waiting. We need to ask God for spiritual eyesight, you know, and spiritual ears so I can know, God, why I'm still sitting in the waiting place. So I know if it's me or if it's your timing or if it's some other reason, or the devil trying to block it. See, then when you know and find out, and there's nothing wrong in, because sometimes in growing in Christ, we can't miss it. And nothing wrong in being honest and real with God, because you don't want to wait till you get right up to that last one, because then all that time, now you miss it. This is why I said with me, even if people prefer to you, don't always tell me how anointed I am, how I'm this, and there is some reason why I'm not healing and delivering people, or that's some other reason why I'm not walking my blade. Tell me that so I can get it right with God, because he is faithful. And if his word go out, we have to work out a prophecy. And I learned this one time from a guy, and you all probably heard, John Bevere, and I had got a book on him. He said, even when you get a prophecy, you got to work your prophecy. You got to walk in obedience. You got to do what the Lord said do. You got to keep on doing it. Even when the enemy come at you and try to get you distracted, you can't stop doing what the Lord has told you to do, because if you do, you'll miss it. But that's what he wants. And people say, well, no, that's all right, because he ventures the Lord to do it by and by. You know, sometimes you need to tell people, look here, you need to go on about your business. Because I know a holy God, he ain't saying that. He's not saying that. So what he's really doing, you know, with me, and I know he's doing with other people, he's coming back and having people examine their life with God, so they can move out of everything and begin to walk in that abundant life. I'm talking spiritual, physical, financial, emotion, every area. That's what he wants, to be made whole in every area. I don't want the Lord to bless me with a whole lot of money. Now I got to pay it out going to some doctors. No, I don't want that. When he said, by his stripes, I'm already healed. But I want to be a place in God, or either somebody else be a place in God, they can speak that word. And whatever it is, got to go. It got to go. Or maybe have to keep speaking until they go. Can't stay there. And I do understand a lot of time with a lot of us that got healing ministry, there are times that we would go through some sickness or something physical because of the healing ministry of the people. Sometimes we'll suffer for other people, because when God has called you, you will suffer for other people sometimes. And when you pray for them, a lot of time it leaves you. And you can get to a place that you can discern when something is not yours. You know, people run around here talking about, I rebuke the devil. The devil is a liar. Let me tell you one thing. That's not what Jesus said to the devil. He told the devil, it's written. You got to start out of your mouth saying it's written, because he is not going to listen to you or I if I say the devil is a liar. He knows he's a liar. That's telling him who he is. But that's not telling him to get up and get out of there. Tell him it's written and tell him what the words say. That's what Jesus did when he went to the wilderness. He told the devil what the word say. What the word say. This is what we got to do. Tell him the word say, you have no power over me. And the word said that he give me power over all the power of the enemy. And guess what? You got to go. Now, we may have to keep saying it until he knows that we mean it, but you cannot come out of your mouth the next minute and say something negative. Say something contrary to the word, because as I told you all before, your angel will only move when you speak the word of God consistently. I heard a preacher preaching one time saying a lot of our angels, we done fired them, because we're always talking negative, or always talking the world way of talking or whatever it is, and they sitting there waiting for us to say what the word of God say. That's when they move. Even in prayer, that's when they move. Say what the word of God say. Consistent, whether it look like it or not. These things have to be moved. Okay, another one is unbelief. Unbelief is infidelity, unfaithfulness, when you unfaithful to God and his word or whatever it is. It's treachery, it's deceit, it's the want of faith, it's rejection of Christ as the Savior, distrust of his faithfulness. When we start to doubting God about when you're and constantly got to wonder why he haven't done it. Why? See, what we don't realize, okay, we don't really believe according to Scripture, because we don't think he's going to be faithful with his promises. Disbelief is the gospel. So basically, I'm going to go to Hebrew 12 chapter and see what we as a people got to understand, okay, is that he may not come the way we want him. But he will be on time. And then you have to be careful sometimes when people are, you know, they want to put a time on it. God may not have given them a time. We have to be careful with that. We have to be careful with our own self, too. That's why I told the Lord, if he's not going to speak, well, I like for the anointing to come upon me. And I know it's coming from him. And I know he's going to do it. But just to speak a lot of things, yes, I can. You know, all of us can, especially those of us who know the word. But I do not. I refuse with the help of God to speak anything about my spirit. And God ain't saying it. It's called disappointment in his people. I refuse to do that. I want to speak what the words say when the words say it in order for God's words to come to pass. But basically, I'm going to go to Hebrews, the 4th chapter, and the 9th through the 11th, 11th verse. Let me go back here and find it. 4th, 9th. Okay, but I go to 8th. For if Jesus had given them rest, my kids, the people of God, the Israelites, then would he not afterward have spoken but another day? That remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. But he that is entered into his rest, he also has ceased from his own work, as God did from him. And so basically what that is saying is that when we have ran into a place of rest, a place of patience, a place of trusting God, we're not trying to make anything happen. And I tell people in the heartbeat, I'm not fit to help God to bring no promise to pay it in my life, nor even in yours. Not fit to do it. I will wait on him. See, that's why the fruits of the Spirit is cultivated in our life. And patient one of the Bible says, after patient, receive the promise. This is why a lot of time I don't be a woman of God that tell me over and over and over, somebody else prophesied me over and over and over what God already promised me he's going to do. I believe it in my heart that he, all, you know, he's going to do it. I really don't need company. Now, sometimes there's some things that happen, and I may be looking for God to you know, tell me or let me know for sure that whatever I picked up was true, because I don't want to be picking up and saying the wrong thing about people. Now, for that reason, but the Lord, they have to tell me over and over he's going to use me, he's going to bless me, he's going to do this in my life. I honestly don't need it. I trust God, and I trust his word. I may not know when he's going to do it, but I know he's going to do it. It's a done deal. And I tell people a lot of times, because sometimes people that don't discern right, well, you know, but Sister Ruth, you got to wait. And I'll tell them, you don't even know what you're talking about. That's not my problem. I'm wondering if God's going to do anything. I said, it always has been me. I never know his timing. But to doubt him, I don't. And I'm not saying because he's strong to me, but it's things that he carried me through. And he had to pound that word on me, and I stayed in the word. I believed the word. I didn't dissect it. I didn't question the word. It said what it said until that word got down in me, in my guts. That whenever, I don't care what I do, wake up with the word flipping up out of my mouth. I've had, especially when I was pastoring, I had people to say, but you wake up, she always comes out the word. And I told him, you need to be glad I'm saying the word. Because that's what keeps me strong in the Lord. That's what helped me to wait on God. That's what helped me to go through. And rightly divide the word of truth. Because if the word of God say I'm wrong about something, the way I'm thinking, or God used a prophet or somebody real in God, and they discern that the Lord is saying such and such, I don't question. I don't say, well, I don't get that. I don't work on that. Because sometimes people see what you don't see about yourself. And sometimes we can see it, but we don't want to acknowledge it because we don't think that's what it is. But I'm here to tell you again, our definition of word, sometimes it's not what God, the way he sees. And we have to get on board with him. One time I was asking the Lord some questions about, you know, about moving and whatever we're going to do. And anyway, the Lord had came out through an individual and told me, he said, God said, use the faith he gave you. So God said, I'm always moving, even when you think I'm not moving. And I'm looking, because I'm thinking just because I'm asking questions, I don't listen to them Christians. Well, you know, there's nothing wrong in asking, Lord. Let me tell you something, there come a time in your life, and especially when you've been with God for a season, and you always quoting the word, God expects for you to know about his timing, to know that he, what he promised you he's going to do it, and for you to wait on him rather than ask him when he going to do it. How much longer I got to wait? I've been waiting a long time. And we know a lot of times we have not been faithful all that long time we've been waiting. So at that season in my life, because I was always talking the word just like I do now, always telling people, oh, got to do this, got to do that, and got to do the other, you know. So he wanted to let me know, you use the faith that I gave you, because I'm always moving you when you think I'm not. And basically what he mean by that, just because we can't see him physically moving, he's saying, but you got to trust me, I am moving, I'm working, but I got to work with other people too. So we had to learn, you know, what's going on. And then I remember a time the Lord had a lady to tell me, before my brother passed, I had a brother to pass, and she had told me, I didn't know he was going to pass, because I really forgot to deliver him. And the lady told me, said, the Lord said, don't let nobody steal the faith he gave you. So I was saying to myself, what are you talking about? So a few weeks or whatever, I don't know how long it was after that, he passed. And I had a lady that said she was praying, said the Lord had told her to pray for. But I usually, to be honest, and God knows I do this, I usually call people like that. You know, you got those kind of people that think they know everything about the Lord and don't know nothing because they're not really serving God. And because they got a little few gifts. But anyway, she came to me and said, well, the Lord didn't deliver your brother. So he took a moment, and immediately the prophetic word came to my mind. I said, the devil is a lie. He delivered him on the other side. So this is why with me, I go into the last minute and believe some change is going to happen, whatever it is, because of what he told me then. I don't have to be having amnesia about what the Lord has told me or what he has said. So even in believing with people, just because it looked like it's not going to happen in your life, because of that prayer, and I believe when I pray to stand with you, I believe he's going to do it. I'm not intent to, with his help, even though I be trying to give up and to think that he's not. Because if I do that, that's unbelief. That is unbelief. And I don't intend to walk in that realm. Like I said, I may not always understand, and I know God has to sometimes deal with other people that he's going to use as an instrument. And I got to understand that if at time when I was growing and he spoke to me, and I didn't always jump. So I got to know that even though, you know, I got to deal with other people just because they want to bless me, that don't mean they're going to jump like that either. So you have to have the right discernment. You have to have the right understanding, the right, you know, spiritual ears to understand and know if you didn't always obey God, others are not eager. But it don't mean that God is unfaithful. You have to understand that God has to get other people to obey too. And if they choose still not to, because you believe and trust and walk in obedience, he will raise up somebody else. That's what he raises somebody else. But anyway, he said, for he that is entered into his rest, this is the 10th verse, he that also has ceased from his own work, God did from his. You know, when made the earth, you know, after them 6 days, you know, what kind he ceased. Let us labor, therefore, to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. And basically what it means is come to a place in Christ that you've got so much confidence and so much focus on, even though it don't look like it, even though it look like things going another direction. Come to a place of rest in your spirit that you know that God's going to do, because he's faithful. He's not going to lie. The devil's a liar and father a liar. And sometimes, be real with you with this too, sometimes it looks like the Lord is going in another direction. Everything he said to you, look like he's going in another direction. That does not mean he's going to, you don't know the way he has to take it in order to bring it around to full circle. And I had gotten this saying from a prophet in Connecticut one time. He told me, he's a sister, he said, it's going to look like God is going in another direction with you, and you're not going to fulfill it. But that's not what it is. That's why you have to have spiritual discernment, to understand and know his way. That's why you have to be your relationship with God, so you can know his ways. When you don't know his ways, you know him as a historical God, you will never understand what he's doing. Never understand. That's why it's important not to listen to a carnal-minded Christian, or they could be worldly-minded or fleshly-minded, because they always look at everything in the world way. That's the way they see it. I had somebody tell me the other day, they were talking about a situation, something about what they want to do, and they tell me a lot of times, but I trust God, I know he'll do this, that, and the other. And they were talking about all these different people, they're trying to raise this and raise that and raise this going up. So that ain't got nothing to do with what God promised you. You can't be looking at it like that. Because first of all, the world's going to raise stuff. Stuff is not going to stay where you get a coat, maybe 25 cents or whatever. But that has no effect on you. Because if you study the word of God, he said, if you do thus and so, I do somewhere and somewhere. He never said whether the economy is up or down or fall or whatever it is. That has nothing to do with a believer. Nothing. Whether you're working or not working or whatever it is, and you are a believer and you're obeying God, he will provide for you. But this I want people to understand, too. When you're going through the wilderness, he's training you to how to stand on the word, not the word in your head, but in your heart, that you wait on him. He don't give you overflow. See, people are telling people wrong, and people still trying to struggle with believing God and all this and tell them that God getting ready to give you, whatever. And they struggling with believing him to take care of them, or buy them food, or pay a bill, or whatever it is. No, he's not. Because you're still going through. He said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out the mouth of God. So that's why you have to get the word. He didn't say every prophecy, every word that proceeds out the mouth of God. Okay, the word of God, the logo, is what helped to bring the prophecy past. That's why I was giving it a few minutes ago when the enemy was trying to steal it. I thank God for that prophecy. So for people to understand about what a prophet is, a prophetess, or either one that really is walking in the office of prophet, they help you to walk through your next level. They help to correct you of what you may be doing wrong. And they foresee what's coming at you that's going to hinder you and stop you. And then, you know, along the road, and they tell you how to overcome that. Not just tell you about all the good stuff and all the this, that, and the other, but the devil coming up, they might not even see it, but hypothetically, if they see the devil coming, the devil getting ready to come with a sickness or whatever it is, and they don't see it and warn you about that and tell you how to overcome that or how to seek the Lord or whatever, that is what they're supposed to do. And that's why you hear me say this quite a lot. I thank God for a lot of the prophets that was, you know, back, not a lot of them recently, but a lot of them back, because the Lord was always sending them heaven and telling me something. In the beginning, I didn't understand. I said, well, I ain't doing nothing. But see, he already see your heart, how you getting ready to get off the track. But it takes one that's real and seeing and seen in the spirit. I warn you that this is coming down the road. And this is, you need to get in the word. Or you're going to miss God in discernment. And God is going to take you through something in order to strip you more so you can see more in the spirit. That is what true love is. That is what that office is about. People say, but, you know, with New Testament Christians, New Testament prophets, that's not the Bible. You got people that operate in the gift of prophets. But you also have people that operate in the office of a prophet, which is a whole lot different. It's a whole lot different. And this thing that people say, well, you don't have an Old Testament prophet, that's a lie. I remember when the Lord first began to use me, because a lot of times, like I said, with me, it's not just, you know, just spontaneous. It's when the Holy Spirit just come and it'll get the flowing. It'll get the flowing. That's what they call a Navi prophet. And that's what the Lord would do to me sometimes, 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning. I have to write it down, but it always come with warning to people. And then the Lord had it told me, say, you know, that is like a Jeremiah prophet. Now, what Jeremiah was always doing was reproving, correcting, and he was tearing down, building up, and he was playing back. That's what he was doing. And there are people that got no particular calling, or Ezekiel and all of them. You have to seek the Lord as to what, and learn to flow in what he done called you to flow in. But it also comes with correction, reproving. It comes with all of that, even deliverance. It comes with that. Because God's not going to reveal a sickness in your body or something like that in your body and not going to reveal it and bring deliverance. The devil is a lie. He's not going to do that. Because anything he reveals, if he reveals that the enemy is trying to trap you of what's coming, he'll have that person to speak forth and take authority over that thing and speak life, his life into your life. And it should be, if that person walks in a place in God, that thing stops immediately. You begin to walk in your blessing. If not, then that person needs to, well, we all need to die some more, the flesh. But anyway, he said, I'm going to read that 11th verse. Let us labor therefore to enter into rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intent of the heart. Neither is there any creature, this is 13th verse, that is not manifest in his sight, nothing and nobody, but all things are naked, uncovered, and open unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. I don't care what we do, like I tell people, get up on the couch and do something, get behind a rock and do something, think something in your heart. Let me tell you one thing, he hears and he sees. He don't miss a thing. And that's why he said he gives to every man according to his ways and doings. And when the scripture is saying, I'm going to read the 12th verse again, for the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to divide asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is discerning of the thoughts and intent of the heart. A person who's really walking with God and got some spiritual discernment, and the word of God is impressed by when God brings to have them bring a word. That word will cut you. It will correct you. It says down, that's basically what he's saying. And like I said, the other scripture I was saying about the word of God say, you know, it's like a hammer, it's like fire. I don't know where Christians get this thing from that nobody's supposed to bring a word. And it's supposed to be cutting them before trying. I do know that people operate in the flesh. I'm not talking about them. I'm talking about the spirit of God, because you got to cut off things out of your life in order for you to walk in the life that he wants to. Okay, a lot of time, the Lord have used me when people talking or whatever it is, and the Spirit of God will have me discern not what they're saying, what they're not saying. And they say, well, no, that's not it. I'm not working on that. See, they're arguing back with the Holy Spirit because they don't understand Scripture. The Spirit of God in the person is the discerner of thoughts, because it is the Spirit of God that operates in people. We as believer, Christian, kingdom-minded, we got to stop saying, you know, well, such and such a thing, you know, there's a good speaker. Such and such a thing. If they are God, it's the Spirit of God that's speaking. That's another reason why a lot of God's people don't want to take what somebody said because they think it's the person speaking. But you're supposed to discern from your spirit man, not your head. And if it's coming from the Bible, how in the world can you think it's the devil? We got to understand it's the Spirit that speaks. We can either let the Spirit speak us, or the devil can be speaking through us. If the devil is telling you, well, you don't have to listen to that. You don't have to pay no attention to that. You know that ain't God telling you that, especially if it's taking you higher in the Lord or taking you to walk in your blessing. And just think about, you know, this is not only just yourself, but think about a lot of people you know. We don't see too many people that walking. I'm talking about really walking in what the Bible's talking about walking in. That's a problem, it ain't God. And they can stop putting on the devil. They can stop putting on other people. Because every one of us, wherever we are in life, we had to yield or not yield, whatever the circumstances were, because I will not believe, even including my life, that God was sending somebody to me at some time or other and I didn't pay no attention. I didn't want to hear. But I made a choice not to hear. I made a choice to look at it in another way, based on how since I've been saved, I'm coming way back. I made a choice not to accept what they said. I didn't want to think that God was saying it. So I make the choice. So I can't put on the devil and I can't put on other people. See, why? Because I have fallen away from the truth because I don't think that God should send somebody to correct me. I don't think God should have nobody saying this to me or whatever it is. So basically that person is an apostate Satan. Like I say, in the body of Christ today, you have a many, many people. They walking in that level in what's coming. This is why they're not walking in power. They know the truth, say. And the enemy can know to talk to people, whatever. I know a lot of time I talk to people. They can quote that Bible better than I can. But they can't walk in it. They cannot rightly divide the word of truth. It's better to know a little word and be able to rightly divide the word of truth and walk in victory than to know the whole Bible, quote any scripture. Call it out, but have no power to set people free. Because why? I'm still walking in the flesh. Because the Bible said be a doer of the word. And I tell people, yeah, the word said that, but that's not what you're doing. I'm trying to help them. I'm not trying to hurt them. I don't need, and we don't need, people to quote the scripture back. They need to see it's being a fruit in your life. That's what they need to see, because the Bible says you know the tree by the fruit. It didn't say nothing about you know the tree by all the words in the head. He didn't say that you know the people just because they can quote from Genesis to Revelation. He said a corrupt tree can bring forth good fruit, vice versa. So we have to understand that a lot of time I hear people, especially do with loved ones, they know them jokers ain't serving God. They know they ain't, because God got a covenant on life. They want to say, but they a good person. Or the Bible say, whoever you serve, that's your daddy. That's what scripture say. Jesus was talking to the people that said for Abraham's seed. Because they weren't obeying God. They was obeying whatever some of the rest of them say. He said, whoever you serve, that's your daddy. So if it's me and I'm not serving scripture, I'm not obeying scripture, then my daddy is the devil. And the Bible tells me, and that's who you're going to obey and do. So we got to become real. We got to become to the point, Lord, help me. Help me. I need you to help me. That's what I need you to do. Okay, I'm going to stop with that, but I'm going to go and give you a couple of scriptures how to protect or guard yourself against it. And the first one is going to be God's Word, 2 Timothy. Let me see if I can find it right quick. 2 Timothy, the 3rd chapter, the 13th verse, prayerfully. 2 Timothy, try to put them in Hebrew. Let me go back. Thank you, Lord Jesus. 2 Timothy. I'll get there in a minute, y'all. Give me time. 2 Timothy 3, 13. Okay. The Bible talks about, but I'm going to go back up to 10th verse, because this is what Paul was talking about. 10th verse said, but thou hast put in on my doctrine, his teaching, manner of life, how he lives, his purpose. They knew his purpose, he called for his faith, how he was really trust God's word. His long suffering. This is what we don't want to, I mean, going through this long enough. But Paul was saying, and see, the Lord had told him, you're going to suffer many things for him, for the kingdom's sake. When you become a true believer of God, you become a vessel in the word of God, you're going to suffer the cross. And those are trials and tests. Yes, here you people, you circumstances, that is a part of the cross. And what he say is those who live godly are going to suffer persecution. So we can come off of that stuff, because he's really getting ready to hit it. He's ready to hit it. Especially if you're going to tell people the truth. You cannot be a person that God is sending you to tell, call sin, and you say, well, I'm not going to call it because they're going to offend, they ain't going to want to hear. Who cares? You are here to obey God. He holds your life in his hand. And then your obedience can be for your family and everybody else. Your disobedience could cause the door to open for the devil to bring destruction to them because you're going to obey. Because you fear man more than you fear God. Or you're trying to protect yourself. But this is what Paul said. He went through persecution, affliction. He came to me at Antioch, at Iconium, Lystra. For persecution I endured. He said he endured. But out of them all, the Lord delivered me. So you think that God would do more for Paul than he do for us? Same thing. He said, yea, and all that will live godly, here it is, I know I'm coming, in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. This is word. God has sent to his people, you got to start believing my word. Read the word, believe the word. He said, but evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. These are the things that he says is going to happen. So when it happened, I wonder why, Lord, have mercy, just a shame because of this and a shame because of that. He said, that's going to happen. He said, but continue. Thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. And Paul was saying he had taught the people the word. This is why you got to get the truth of the word, and that people are telling you the truth and telling you that you, or when you called after Christ, you're going to suffer persecution. It's not you that they hate, but they're hating Christ. It's a part of the calling, but guess what? The scripture says when he's with you, there's more than the whole world against. He said, greater that he is in you than he is in the world. So what God is showing me, a lot of his people don't believe the word. Because they think the devil, because he's hollering and screaming, that they say, he got more power than what they got. They're not using the word of God. They're not using, trusting that God knows what they're going through, and he permitted it. He didn't stop it. He said, and that from a child, we're telling Paul, from a child, thou hast known the Holy Scripture, which are able to make thee wise. What is able to make us wise? The Holy Scripture. The Holy Scripture may make us wise unto salvation. Salvation here means deliverance through faith. You got to use faith, which is in Christ Jesus. It's in Christ Jesus. It's in, and then this is what it said. All Scripture is given by the inspiration of God. All Scripture from Genesis to Revelation. You just have to learn how to know how to discern the Old Testament, which is in the natural, and the New Testament in the Spirit, to apply it for today. And the Holy Spirit will teach us and train us how to take the Old Testament, like they're going through the wilderness. We still go through the wilderness. But what he's doing, he was taking them through to teach them how to live by the Word of God. He still does that. He still does it. Okay, but able to salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture given by the inspiration of God. And it is profitable. All Scripture is profitable for doctrine and teaching, for reproof, that correction, and what also he said out here for correction, but the basic ministry, but also for instruction in righteousness. It's the word of God. They're going to teach you how and give you how to walk upright before God. I'm not talking about despising prophecy and all that stuff, because God will use us to give us prophecy. But it's the word of God he's saying here. Is that going to be profitable for doctrine, teaching, reproof, correction, instruction, and righteousness? So you have to have that too. You can't just have the prophecy of what God's going to do in the future, what he want to do in your life, and how he want to bless you. And most people, that's what they want for anyway. But you will have to have this logo. He said, this is what the 17th verse is, that the man of God may be perfect. What that means complete or mature. It does not mean sinless, but it does not mean you're practicing sin either. It does not mean that, but it means you are complete. This is why you got spiritual babes in the Lord, and you can just come to the Lord. You can be in the Lord 20 years and still be a babe in the Lord. Still be a babe in the Lord. Because you have not grown, your spirit man has not grown. Okay? He said, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. This is why we have to get up off the bottle, off the whining, off the crying, off of this, that, and that. Because one thing that we know about Christ, he is not going to give no one a whole lot of responsibility from whining and crying. He got it for me to do, but I got to grow up spiritually. This is why you see in the body of Christ, a lot of people break callings, but they're still babes in the spirit. And so what he won't do, he won't give it to them until they take a lick and have a call like that and keep on kicking. Grow spiritual. Because in the natural, none of us on this line is going to take and give an immature child no responsibility to say, go in there and cut up some meat, a child 5 years old. Not going to do it. And it's not about the natural age. But it's a spiritual man, you grow, because you can be in the Lord, say 100, 50, and never grow. So you're still just like a babe. You're still just like a babe. Or you can be in there longer than that, or less than that. But this is why you got to take the word and eat it and grow, and a lot of words to change you, a lot of words to get you to knowing what you've been called to do. We're not called just to come in the world to get married, have children, have babies, and this, that, and other. That's the second call. But first of all, we're called to him for the kingdom of God. And that's what people are putting on the back of the burner. That's why you got so many people now praying and asking God for stuff, for relationship, for all of this. And they're putting the calling on the back burner. That is who you are. That is who I am. It's not who I'm going to be. It's who he has already put in me when I was in my mother's womb. And you are too, when you're in your mother's womb, you are called to be, whether it's a prophet, whether it's all fivefold, fivefold ministry, party office, whether it's that or whatever it is, that is who you are. That is what you've been called in the world to do. The other thing is just some added benefit that we call to do. And actually, really, the first part of what he meant, even in getting married and all that stuff, but creativity. That's what that was for. But see, people find out it was more, and they said, well, I'm lying, but this is one thing what I found out in Christ. When you really get into that place where he wants you to be, you are being completed. So with or without, because you know that even when you put somebody in your life, it's for you to complete and fulfill the ministry, the calling that's on your life. It's not to fulfill no loneliness. It's not to take the place of God. Because if you got a hunger in you, that is an empty place in you that can't nothing and nobody fill it but God. Money can't do it. Nice home can't do it. You know, all beautiful cars, fine cars can't do it. But that longing for him is going to still be in you. And that he wants to feel. And he's not. I start saying ain't, but anyway, you know, I know English from what's going on, but he's not going to allow nothing, nobody else to take his place and feel that. I don't care what you get, how you get it. You can have $1 billion and you ain't came to the place in him that he wants you to be, you're still not going to be happy. I'm not either. Because he made that place for him. That's why he wants to move all this stuff out, because he's jealous of us. And with a lot of us, we talk the talk, but he doesn't have our heart. He doesn't have our heart. Why? Most time, you ought to have seen this, and maybe I did it sometime yourself or whatever it is. Most time, very few people tell him, I want you, I need you. We're telling him about what he done promised us and what I done went through, what I done this, what I done that, what people done to me. So who wants anyone to come and sit down and talk to them and always complaining? And then don't never tell them, I love you, I want you, I need you. Because that's the only way we can get out of anything we're going through. He wants to know, not with just mouth talk. Like I've been telling the Lord with me, with people, you know. And people say, well, you know, I love you, Sister Ruth, what's going on? You know, and sometimes it had been now, when people around me say that, I look at them and I say, you know, you feel of it too. Because that's not how they treat me. Love is an action word. It's just not talking it. You're not talking it at all. And you can't not love unconditionally unless you got Jesus in your heart. Because the Bible tells us that. Our love will be fleshly. I love you when you're talking to me right. I love you when you're doing me right. I love you when you're doing this right. But see, love also is correction. That's just like a mother with a child, and your child is going out there in the streets or whatever. You're not going to go, baby, come back, come back. Come up out of that street, get up out of there, because the car will come out and kill you. You're in a firm voice, or it could be something else. You're doing that because why? You love that child. It don't have to be a child. It can be somebody else. And even though you don't know them, and you see them blindly walking in the streets, you're not going to be telling them, well, you know, you need to come out the streets and you need to go. No, get up out that street because a coffee to hit you. Love, like the Bible's talking about, but being about correction. But God's word, and that comes from 2 Timothy, the 3rd chapter, 13 through the 17th verse, and I probably won't have time. Well, probably won't have time to get to the other, but it's about spiritual growth. Spiritual growth. Spiritual growth means you mature in Christ, you fruitfulness. Look at your life, my life. What kind of spiritual fruit in your life? How many souls are you winning to the Lord? How many people you're laying hands on and getting set free? How many lives are you changing? It's supposed to be that. You're here to duty, whatever God has called you to do. You don't wait down the line before you do it, because he's going to do it through you. That's what he's going to do to you. Truth, fidelity. And that scripture, I may have time, I'll try to get it right quick, so I can find 1 Peter 2 and 2, and I'll finish it some other time, prayer for the Lord to say. But these of how, let me see what it said, what did I say, 1 Peter? No, 2 Peter, let me see. 2 Peter, no, it's 1 Peter. 1 Peter 2, 1 and 2, I'm going to say, wherefore, laying aside, put down, let go all malice, Malice is desire to do evil to others. And all guile, doing tricks and deceits and all, because, you know, you still got a lot of Christians, they like to tell jokes, play jokes on people. No, you ain't got to be doing that. And hypocrisy, and envies, okay, and all evil speaking, they're insincere when somebody all evil speaking, okay, and slander. He said, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. So see what it's saying, what it's going to take you to grow or how to grow in the Lord. It's going to take the word of God. That's what's going to cause growth. It's not going to take this prophecy. It's going to take the word of God. This is why a lot of times people got so eating prophecy and feeling good. They don't want to hear them about what they're teaching the word. And that's what's going to work on. That's why a lot of times they come to people for prayer and they're whining and crying about what's going on because they don't have the word in their spirit. They got it in their head. And that's why they can't go out there and they can't do nothing in the kingdom. But it said, desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. So a babe is still on milk, and you cannot give them strong milk of the word because they can't take it. But if you grow in the spirit, your spirit man, then you're able to not only take a lick and keep on ticking, but you're able to take the tests and trials you go through. And one other thing I'm going to say before we go off, I remember one time I used to ask the saints, different. I knew it was spiritual, but I didn't know what it was, and because they've been in church a long time, and they preaching, prophesying, and all of this stuff. That's why I don't let that stuff now makes me just, all that stuff, because I've been around them, and what's going on. I was asking them stuff, but I don't know, baby. You have to ask the Lord, not me telling them. I'm asking and I'm seeking, but I don't hear anything. But I know they were supposed to tell me, help me. That's why they go through. So, but a prophet told me one time, the Lord called him Volkswagen. And so the Lord said, Volkswagen can't tell 18 wheel producer. I looked at the lady. Because I'm not going to argue back and debate back and question, especially if they're a real prophet. I'm not going to do that. And so they didn't have nothing to tell you spiritually. They would tell me in the natural to do this and do that or whatever it is. Like I told y'all for years, Lord been dealing with my stomach with an intercessory. And I was asking this lady, have you went to the doctor? Do you take vitamins? I'm saying to myself. Now, a lady had told me, God, he showed her thing here since she was a child. And she had been in church, I don't know how many years, but she had been in church a long time. I'm saying to myself, now, I know it's spiritual. I just don't know what. But a loving God, if you hung in the third side of righteousness, the Lord allowed me to go to a bookstore one day, and I used to just go pick up books, Goodwill, whatever. And I just picked up this book off the table and went and bought it, didn't know what was in it. And when I got it home and read it, it was a guy named Evan Robinson. I think he was around in the 1600s, 1700s, something like that. When I began to read that Bible, I mean that book, then it began to reveal to me what God was doing in my stomach. He was birthing intercessory in me. And the same way God did this man, I've been reading about my own life, but the only difference in he and I, because he was rejected so much, because he was so peculiar the way God used him, that he went into exile. That's why I tell people a lot of times you don't know the mantle on another person's life and what they have to go through to fulfill God's calling on their life. But he went into exile. And he never did go back out there to preach. I'm sure when he got to heaven, he had to pay for that. Because a lot of times God would, you know, send him out to preach. And when he went out to preach, they say preach. But the Spirit of God would draw him on his knees and have him moaning and groaning in the Spirit. Like what the Bible talks about, with the Spirit of God prays, you know, come up with groaning and uttering. That is not tongues. That is not tongues at all. And he would do that, and the people would get mad with him. So we call you to preach. But what they don't know, when the Holy Spirit consumes a person like that, they're controlled by the Holy Spirit. They can't do nothing but what the Holy Spirit wants them to do. So that's why he don't train them. You may call them to preach. You may call them to teach. But if the anointing for something else come on, that's what they got to flow in. God is trying to teach us some things, got me sharing some things, so you can begin to pay attention to your own life, and you begin to
you know, discern and find out what you're going to be called, walking in or whatever it is, you know, so you can begin to walk in your calling, you know, because too much time done passed by. Some of us standing on the edge of the bank of the creek, and some of the blessings out there in the deeper water, and they ain't going to come. If they ain't come while you run this, sitting on that bench, I mean, on the edge of the water, they ain't going to come while you're there. That means God's saying, come upon you in the spirit. Come upon you. Come upon you. Seek my face and come upon you. Because I want to use you. He wants to get in you to use you. Not you ain't using him. That's why I don't understand why a lot of people tell people sometimes, say, well, I'm asking God to use me. If you yield to him, you don't have to ask him. He'll use you. But it may not always be to preach or prophesy or all that. You are his vessel. But we bless you. We bless each and every person on here tonight. We thank you all for coming on. I hope and pray that you was able to get some nuggets out of the Word of God and can go back over and maybe, I don't know whether maybe I may pray for Monday when I go on free conference. The Lord may have me to go and try to get through with the rest of the scripture on this. Because we need to know the things of how to guard against, how to protect our spiritual life. And we need to know the things that cause to bring us to that existence. Because you hear people in church talking, if they ain't in church, wherever you hear them at, oh, they know that word. They know it. But then again, look at them when something happens. They're in apostasy. They have fallen away from the truth. They don't obey the truth of the word no more. And I'm not saying you have to tell them, but you have to know. Because the Bible says, know them and labor amongst you. And I don't get over on people because they can quote that word and all that stuff. And I don't even get on the thing because people can prophesy the truth. Because if they're not living right, what spirit is that coming from? It ain't coming from the Spirit of God. And they can be accurate. They can be accurate. That's why he want to clean us up so we can be a vessel for the master's use. But thank God for y'all. I love y'all. And thank God for you being here. And I just pray the blessing of God upon you. You know, and all, and take the word, like I say, apply it to your life. Get in the word. Get in the word and seek the Lord. Let him know you want him. You know, you all of us need some right now. But Lord, I need you. But you're the only one to help me get through. The only one. And the only one can help keep your peace. But be blessed, and we thank God for you. And we're going to say good night to each and every one that's on tonight. Well, just be encouraged and stay encouraged. And I am really standing with you, praying with you, believing with you. I am doing that with you. You know, so just stay encouraged. But I also need people to stand in so they can stay in prayer with me, believe with me to come through. Because when you're praying for a lot of people and you're believing with them, you're using your faith, it will drain you. And, you know, I need people praying you and me with me for God's will, not what they think is best for me, but for God's will for me. All right, then, we'll have a blessed night, then. We're going to talk to y'all later and say good night.